Hello, and welcome to the Garden History Podcast. My name is Advalie Richmond, and I'm a plant, garden, and social historian. On the Garden History Podcast, I will be taking you through my A to Z of garden history, based on the people, plants, places, and features which you might find in and around the subject of garden history. Today is the letter O for ornamental dairy. Ornamental or pleasure dairies became very fashionable from the mid-18th century onwards and could be seen within the designed landscapes of wealthy estates, along with other garden features such as hermitages, plunge pools and bathhouses. Most of these dairies were specifically designed not only for productivity but also as a place of leisure. They were popularised in England by Queen Mary II, whose own pleasure dairy at Hampton Court Palace in the 1690s was a replica of the milk cellar she already had at Hetloo Palace in the Netherlands. It was beautifully furnished and used to showcase her collection of blue and white Delftware and other fine porcelain. In France, both Marie Antoinette and Madame de Pompadour were among those known to have constructed lavish dairies, which they used for social, theatrical and pleasure purposes, often dressing up as milkmaids or shepherdesses in order to mimic the pastoral idyll of rural life. In warmer climates, a fountain was essential in the dairy to keep the air cool and fresh, which also helped to stop the milk curdling. Ornamental dairies could be distinguished from day-to-day working dairies by the care given to their architectural design and their luxurious interior decoration. A great deal of effort was put into the building of these dairies, and some of the most notable architects of the day were called in to design them. A wonderful example, set within a Humphrey Repton landscape, is the one at Cobham Hall in Kent, which was designed by James Wyatt in 1794, and this was for Elizabeth Brownlow, 4th Countess of Darnley. It was designed to look like a miniature chapel, complete with a bell tower and corner pavilions with an elaborate fan-vaulted ceiling and intricate plasterwork. It is a rare survival of a late Georgian ornamental dairy. Interestingly, these buildings were seen and treated as very feminine spaces associated with nurturing and motherhood, and there was an intimate association between ornamental dairies and the women who commissioned them. Once completed, the dairy at Cobham became a stylish retreat where Elizabeth could supervise the production of butter, cream and cheese, or hold discreet tea parties for her female friends, where they would recite poetry and immerse themselves in the novelty and pleasures of country life. But most dairies were equipped with a small bedroom for a dairymaid, who did most of the actual work before scooting off when her mistress and guests arrived. Around 1767, the pottery manufacturer Josiah Wedgwood saw the lucrative potential of this emerging trend, and he began to produce a range of richly glazed creamware to be used specifically in pleasure dairies. The products included jugs for cream and milk settling pans for making cheese. This creamware and china were displayed on Carrara marble or occasionally mother-of-pearl shelving set around the walls before being positioned on a central ornate table when guests arrived. During the summer months, an urn would be placed in the middle with a large chunk of ice to keep the products cool. The ice, having been collected from the nearby lake during the winter, as described in the letter I for ice house. At the 18th century Erddig Hall in Wrexham, their dairy was known as the China House and was sited in a valley by the river and could be reached via a path through a woodland. In some cases, the dairy was deliberately sited in a romantic and idyllic hidden spot within the landscape, which would become an intrinsic part of a circular walk, providing a natural stopping-off point for a spot of tea. On the other hand, some dairies were designed as curious eye-catchers out in the wider landscape, encouraging people to go and find them, where a selection of creamware would be filled with fruit and milk products which awaited them. And of course, once there, the guests were then treated to picturesque views back to the main house. Wedgwood's creamware was expensive, smooth, streamlined, and produced in pale colours to match the purity of the milk itself. It was gorgeously elegant, yet simple, and was deemed to be the perfect type of porcelain for an ornamental dairy. When Wedgwood's creamware was awarded royal patronage by Queen Charlotte, it became known as Queensware, leading to the inevitable rise in demand for anyone wishing to adorn the shelves of their fashionable dairies. As ever, the trend for these pleasure dairies soon waned, and some of them were simply left to decay out in the landscape park. But most happily, the ornamental dairy at Cobham has now been fully restored and converted into a beautiful landmark trust holiday rental that continues to bring pleasure to its visitors. You can see an image of the Cobham Dairy on my podcast page at advoli.co.uk. Thank you for listening to the Garden History Podcast, and please join me again for the next episode. Until then, thank you and goodbye.